Recorded Books Incorporated presents an unabridged recording of To Your Scattered Bodies Go by Philip Jose Farmer, narrated by Paul Hecht. This work is copyrighted 1971 by Philip Jose Farmer. This recording is copyrighted 2000 by Recorded Books Incorporated. Philip Jose Farmer was born in 1918 in North Terre Haute, Indiana. Farmer was a letterman in football and track at Peoria High School. He attended Bradley University, graduating in 1950 with a bachelor's in English literature. He worked as a groundman for a streetcar company, in a steel mill, at Letourneau Westinghouse, in a dairy, and as a space defense industry technical writer. His first fiction sale came in 1945 to Adventure Magazine. He has won 3 Hugo Awards, in 1953 as the most promising new writer of 1952, for the 1967 novella Riders of the Purple Wage, and in 1972 for the first River World novel To Your Scattered Bodies Go. His literary noms de plume include Kilgore Trout, Nick Adams, Leo Queequeg Tin Crowder, Paul Chapin, Rod Keene, and John H. Watson, M.D. And now, To Your Scattered Bodies Go.
Chapter 1. His wife had held him in her arms as if she could keep death away from him. He had cried out, "My God, I am a dead man!" The door to the room had opened, and he had seen a giant, black, one-humped camel outside, and had heard the tinkle of the bells on its harness as the hot desert wind touched them. Then a huge black face, topped by a great black turban, had appeared in the doorway. The black eunuch had come in through the door, moving like a cloud, with a gigantic scimitar in his hand. Death, the destroyer of delights, and the sunderer of society, had arrived at last. Blackness, nothingness. He didn't even know that his heart had given out forever. Nothingness. Then his eyes opened. His heart was beating strongly. He was strong, very strong. All the pain of the gout in his feet, the agony in his liver, the torture in his heart, all were gone. It was so quiet, he could hear the blood moving in his head. He was alone in a world of soundlessness. A bright light of equal intensity was everywhere. He could see, yet he didn't understand what he was seeing. What were these things above, beside, below him? Where was he? He tried to sit up and felt numbly a panic. There was nothing to sit up upon because he was hanging in nothingness. The attempt sent him forward and over very slowly, as if he were in a bath of thin treacle. A foot from his fingertips was a rod of bright red metal. The rod came from above, from infinity, and went on down to infinity. He tried to grasp it, because it was the nearest solid object, but something invisible was resisting him. It was as if lines of some force were pushing against him, repelling him. Slowly, he turned over in a somersault. Then the resistance halted him with his fingertips about 6 inches from the rod. He straightened his body out and moved forward a fraction of an inch. At the same time, his body began to rotate on its longitudinal axis. He sucked in air with a loud sawing noise. Though he knew no hold existed for him, he couldn't help flailing his arms in panic to try to seize onto something. Now he was face down. Or was it up? Whatever the direction, it was opposite to that toward which he had been looking when he had awakened. Not that this mattered. Above him and below him, the view was the same. He was suspended in space, kept from falling by an invisible and unfelt cocoon. 6 feet below him was the body of a woman with a very pale skin. She was naked and completely hairless. She seemed to be asleep. Her eyes were closed, and her breasts rose and fell gently. Her legs were together and straight out, and her arms were by her side. She turned slowly like a chicken on a spit. The same force that was rotating her was also rotating him. He spun slowly away from her, saw other naked and hairless bodies, men, women, and children opposite him in silent spinning rows. Above him was the rotating, naked, and hairless body of a Negro. He lowered his head so that he could see along his own body. He was naked and hairless, too. His skin was smooth, and the muscles of his belly were ridged, and his thighs were packed with strong young muscles. The veins that had stood out like blue mole ridges were gone. He no longer had the body of the enfeebled and sick 69-year-old man who had been dying only a moment ago, and the 100 or so scars were gone.